I'd like to look at a familiar scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes. 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, beginning in the 13th verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Sometimes you hear a minister say in a message, if you don't remember anything else that I've said, remember this. If in everything else that's been said, of all the words and the thoughts that have been brought out, if there's nothing else you take away but this, the very bottom line and the essence of everything that's been said, of the conclusion of the whole matter, of our lives and the essence of it and why we're here, the very purpose of our lives comes down to this matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. Isn't that what they realized with Daniel? There is a God in heaven, that which is hidden from man, that which is concealed and nobody understood, even the king himself. There was a God of heaven that was able to reveal unto Daniel the secrets. You know, there are crimes that have been committed that have never been solved. There are things that have been done, and occasionally you hear in the news about somebody that's been living undercover for years. For decades, they've assumed a different identity. They've moved, they've changed their name and everything about them, trying to cover up a crime. Can you imagine carrying that with you? Can you imagine carrying the weight of it? And sometimes when it comes to light, that's what you hear from them. I was so tired of carrying it, the weight of it, the fear of it, always having to look over my shoulder, always wondering, is somebody on my trail? Is somebody realizing who I really am? Sounds like a miserable way to live, doesn't it? There was one that will bring every work into judgment. Whether it be known, whether it be broadcast, whether the world knows about it, whether my family knows about it, whether the congregation knows about it, or anyone else, it will be brought into judgment. There is a time coming, and one that I am dealing with in my life, that I'm going to stand before and give an account of every deed that's been done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So it comes down to the fear of God. Every word, every thought, every deed, desire, action, the Lord sees and understands. And I'll give an account of those deeds that are done in the body. 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick, or alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Man looketh on the outward, but God looks on the inward. The word of God is quick and powerful. Whenever Jesus was walking on the earth, you remember many times, there are those that would come before Him asking Him a question. It says tempting Him. But the question in and of itself, you wouldn't know maybe by looking at it. Remember the woman that was at the well? Jesus just looking upon them. He knew the Pharisees. He knew what was in their heart. He knew what was motivating the question that they were asking. He knew everything that was in their lives. That's what the woman of the well marveled at. How is it that I come to one that's never met me before? That's never been with me in the private moments of my life? That's never witnessed or been there when I've done these things? And yet He looks at me and He's able to know and understand all things about my life. She marveled at it and she went back and told those in the town, you must come see this man. They came and they found the very same thing. There's one that's able to look right through you. That's able to tell and uncover and reveal every hidden work. Everything about my life. That is the one with whom we have to do. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. It seems like such a given that a God in heaven knows the things that I'm doing. He knows the thoughts that I'm thinking. But how many times have people somehow thought otherwise? How many times have there been those that somehow reasoned in their mind, if I disobey God and take a ship to Tarshish and be able to hide down in the bottom of the ship, somehow I'll be okay. For Adam and Eve, whenever they partook of the fruit and their eyes were opened and they knew and they realized their sinful condition now, why did they hide? Before the presence of holy, almighty God, they hid. Their eyes were open. But somehow, do you think that you can hide from God? Do you think somehow He won't know where you are? Whenever He came and began talking with Him, where are you? Oh, do you think you can really hide it? Do you think somehow the Lord that made all these things doesn't know already at the moment that the desire and thought entered my heart? What's happened? Oh, Cain, you can't fool God. Am I my brother's keeper? Your brother's blood cries out from the ground. There is one that has an all-seeing eye. You see, these things we know. We have an understanding of these things, but I would that God help us to have the fear of God upon our hearts. Folks, a head knowledge of this is not enough. A knowledge that there's a God in heaven is not enough. That's not enough to keep me in the hour of temptation. Lord, help me that the fear of God would rest upon my heart. David, Ahab, 1 Kings, the 21st chapter. Remember, he looked out and he saw a vineyard that he wanted. The desire entered into his heart, encouraged by his wife. Go and possess it. They had the plot figured out. I've heard it being done as a game before of come up with the perfect crime. How would you do it? Where would you hide the body? Where would you do it? I don't know why you really want to play that game. But people that would try to imagine, of all those that have tried to commit the perfect crime, we read in the news a while back about the escape from the prison. They were on the loose for a few weeks. So much that went into it, so much planning and thought and preparation that went into it. What are all the things that we're going to do to be able to escape and get free? Well, they had the plot. They had it figured out. To be able to lay unjust charges against him. To be able to have his life taken. Now I'm scot-free. I've got what I want now. Oh, I'm free now. I have the possession that I wanted. It's the lie of sin that's still being repeated over and over again. I've obtained it now. The thing that I wanted, the temptation, the desire that arose in my heart. Oh, I've got it now. And then the man of God came walking down the road. No, you didn't. Because there is one in heaven that knows the secret things. There is one in heaven that reveals the secrets of men's hearts. Oh, remember the army that was coming up against, was it Elisha? And the Lord kept revealing to Elisha the things that they were doing and where they were and was foiling their plots. And he was looking and saying, who among you is the deserter? Who among you is the traitor here? So that's not it. There's one that reveals the things that are said upon your bedchamber. There's one that goes and knows and hears the things that no one else hears. He's able to look down and discern that and tell it into the ears of the man of God. And so it comes on Ahab, and he's found out. There's no escaping it. There's no getting away from it. Psalms 139 and 11. Hypothetical thought here. It says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the night are both alike to thee. But there are so many that walk in darkness because they love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. Those that are the children of darkness, they walk in darkness. It's that which to the mind conceals. It hides the things that are done. To walk in shadows, not only literally at night, but to walk in darkness in my life. To have shadows, to have places in my life that are kept behind closed doors. That are kept hidden away from the light. Hidden away from exposure to other people. Remember the song, The Hidden Room? I had a room in my heart where even I wouldn't go. I had some things hidden there. I didn't want anyone to know. But it goes on to say, then one day the master came and he handed me the key. He said, let me go in your secret room. And oh, I was so ashamed. I didn't want him to know the things that were hidden there. Oh, what a foolish thing to go through life like this. To go through life with things tucked away behind the closet. Thinking somehow that I'll be able to prosper with it. Thinking somehow I'll be able to get the enjoyment of it and not be found out. What a miserable existence. If you say the darkness shall cover me, it's just like night. Or just like light before the Lord. It's just like the brightest noonday in the eyes of the Lord. I'd like to look at the 19th chapter of Exodus. Exodus 19. The Lord preparing to meet with Moses, and he wanted to appear before his people. And he gave instruction of the preparation that they were to make to be able to appear before him. It said in the 10th verse, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. Moses went, and he gave him the instruction as he had heard from the Lord. He set boundaries. The Lord had instructed him. There's something here that if you get too close to it, it'll kill you. There's something here that if you touch it, you're going to lose your life. You know, we can read something like this and think it's such a harsh thing. Was it really that important? But you know, the Lord had a concern for the people. You can read here a little further down around the 20th verse. When the Lord was appearing unto Moses and he instructed him, he asked him, did you tell them? Did you give him the instruction not to go close? Did you set the boundaries round about? You know, there are boundaries the Lord wants us to have because of the fear of God. Because there are places, if I touch this, I will die. It's not something for me to trifle with. Lord, help us that we be governed by the fear and the love of God. Not by the fear of man. Not just by the desire to please men. But a fear that I don't want to get too close. I don't want to get into a place that I might risk stepping one foot over too close. So he asked Moses, did you make very clear? And he told him, go down again. Make abundantly clear to them that you set boundaries and don't get too close. You know, the Lord had a way of imparting the fear of God to His people. Remember whenever Nadab and Abihu offered a strange fire? The fire came down and consumed them. Can you imagine being on and looking at that? Whenever Korah was in rebellion before Moses, remember that? He and his company had gathered together and the Lord said, "Separate yourselves." What would it be like to be standing there and you feel it occasionally here in Oklahoma, don't you? The earth begin to tremble. And you see all of a sudden a big chasm open up before you. And those men that stood there swallowed up. Who is this that we're dealing with? He's not somebody to be trifled with. And the fear of God would fall upon them. Uzzah, as he was following the ark and he saw it begin to shift. And he reached out a hand just to steady it. Isn't that all right? Is there anything really so harmful in that? The word of the Lord had already come, had already given instructions. The word of the Lord is not something for us to handle lightly, but for us to have a fear of God upon our hearts, lest I transgress His law. He was smitten dead. The men, I believe, of Beth Shemesh, as they had walked past after a victory and looked in the ark, that which was forbidden to do. And there was smitten of them thousands that day. Why? Because you trifled with God. Because you got too familiar with the things of God. You didn't have a holy reverence and an awe of who you're dealing with. Let's move to the New Testament. Second Peter, the third chapter. Third verse, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that the word of God, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" You know, I can remember from the time I was a child, hearing messages about hell, reading this and being shaken, being so troubled, imagining what will it be like. Do we still have that tenderness? Do we still have that realization and belief? Isaiah had prophesied and was quoted in the New Testament of the works of Jesus. Who hath believed our report? Who is it that hath believed? I can say that I believe. I know the Lord's returning. I know the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I've heard it all my life. Of course I know that. Do we really believe? Do the works of our life bear witness to that? What manner of persons ought ye to be? If we really believe that, if we really have an eternal vision in view, in every decision that we make, made against the backdrop of eternity, made against the backdrop of the fact that I will stand and give an account of this deed. Do you think if the heavens were opened, if men's eyes were opened and a view of hell exposed, Do you think it would change behavior in our country? Every knee will bow. And every tongue is going to confess in that day. Whenever it's all opened up and it's all apparent. And it's become sight. But blessed are they that have not seen and believe. Under the saving of our house. Under the saving of my own soul. That I believe unto a fearfulness of God. A fear and trembling and a carefulness in my life. The danger that the children of Israel found themselves in more than once was becoming too familiar with the things of God. Becoming too complacent with it. We have in our country an alert system for terrorism. It goes from, what, yellow, orange, red, something like that. You know what the tendency is? After a while, if it's orange all the time, you know, I get to where I don't even notice it anymore. I become conditioned to it. I become desensitized to it. Same way how we can hear a noise and get to the place that we tune it out. We can become desensitized to the things that are around us. You know, the same danger is there for us with the things of God, that I've become desensitized to it. Scripture speaks in 1 Timothy 4 and 2 of it something like this. They have had their consciences seared with a hot iron to the place that the nerves, or that receives the understanding. It's seared, it's desensitized, like a third degree burn that burns right through the nerves, to the point that I don't feel anymore, or to the point maybe I still know. I would tell you that I do still believe, but my works and my actions from day to day would speak otherwise. Lord, help me that I would have a conscience that's undefiled, clear before God. I'd like to look at the 12th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 12. In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Does that give us any cause for a feeling of unease? Does that give us any cause for hesitation? I'm not sure I want the things I've said to be broadcast. I'm not sure I want the things that I've imbibed or looked at or watched. I'm not sure that I want them to be broadcast to everybody. There was a pastor. The last few months, read about it in the news, a pastor that committed suicide. Come to find out what had happened to this man that was a well-known and apparently somewhat of a popular pastor, preacher, had a different life that the congregation didn't see. Something that was hidden in the darkness was hidden behind a computer screen or behind a cell phone. I had never heard of or even realized that this was considered a legitimate business. I want to be discreet, but became public information that millions of names were made public of a website and a business whose sole mission is to encourage infidelity. Their motto is, life is short. It's true, isn't it? But their take on it is, have an affair. Where's the fear of God? What's happened to our nation that the fear of God is not there? I've known of those that have come down to the end of their life, and that their family have celebrated. Their last thing that they went and did, they made it one more time to the gambling boat. They went one more time and gambled. There, their last few hours of living, they stepped out with people supporting them out on the front porch. And they took one more smoke. And I've heard them say, that's the way that I want to go out. That's the way I want to live. I want it. Life is short. Live it up. If this is all there is to it, perhaps that could be said. But this man, I don't know how long he had been living this double life. But whenever it became public, he decided he couldn't handle it. He decided the shame and the embarrassment of it, that now the ones that I've lived before as a testimony of godliness, the ones that I've stood and preached to, now it's broadcast out publicly. Now everybody will know what'll happen. You know, I believe the Lord has a way in some things like that. Be sure your sins will find you out. Let us, as God's people, let us as individuals, any one of us that would profess, I want to go to heaven. I want to make it. I want to hear Him say, well done. Lord, help us to live a life as it says here, that I would be willing to send the family parrot home to live with the pastor for a week. The one that's hurt and maybe would mimic everything that he's been hearing in my household. That I wouldn't be ashamed for him to hear the things that I've been saying. That I wouldn't be ashamed. There's some young people that are pretty good with computers. That I wouldn't be ashamed to send my computer home with a computer tech among the saints. And say, I want you to go in and browse the internet logs. Browse the history. Look at the cookies. Nothing to hide. I want you to go in and... Or would there be something? Hold on. Let me take care of something first and then you can have it. Lord, help us to live in such a way. It says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Who did he tell this to first? His disciples. A warning to every one of us tonight. Lord, help us to be on our guard. That we not get into a place that I get so comfortable in dealing with Almighty God. That I get into a place that I begin living my life in a way that I would not want to be living whenever He would return. Or that I would not want to be living if the saints were looking on at that moment. How is it that the fear of man can become greater than the fear of God? For a pastor to become afraid of what the congregation will think, but not afraid of what God thinks. Somehow get into a place that I've so conditioned myself. You know, it starts with smaller things, though. I'd like for us to sing a verse of number 394. Verse 2.
My conscience was so easy to fear that
thy conscience once so keen to feel. I'm so thankful to see children that go to the altar. I'm so thankful to see young people and children that are touched. Do we mature to the point that we don't need it after childhood? Do we get to the place that I don't have needs after I turn 10, 12? I don't want to be critical, but I want to challenge us. let's not get to a place that I'm numbed to God's dealings. Oh, I can look back, as I said, at times in my childhood. I don't know how many times I come down to that altar right there, where when I had done something, sometimes it was something no more. I've been pestering my brothers. You can ask them. I've been doing something that I just don't feel clear. I don't feel that clear witness of my spirit as I'm here and I hear the message going forth. There's something about it. I don't feel right. I don't feel clear. Lord, if you're going to come back, make it another night. Make it another time. Maybe I'm okay, but I'm just not real sure. Oh, the clearness. Oh, the clearing of our conscience that we can have. Oh, I remember one time after going to the altar, I'd been feeling the guilt as a child and feeling weighed down by it. And I remember getting up and saying, Lord, come on back. Lord, I'm ready now. Lord, I want... But the Lord wanted instead, I want you to just live this life. I want you to live a clear life. I read a statistic that's very troubling, and I try to be careful just throwing statistics around, but it says 74% of men in the United States would commit adultery if they thought they would never be caught. You know, that's a fearful thing. Have we gotten to that place? What do you mean if you never get caught? If no one else sees you? If nobody else finds out about it, what about the one that you're going to stand before? What about the one that sees the life that you're living? What about the one that you're going to stand and give an account to? Does that not matter? Does that not have any bearing on the decisions that you make in your life? He's the one to fear. Don't fear Him that can kill the body, but fear Him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's the one that I'm dealing with. That's the one that I'm going to answer to for my life. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's still coming to fruition. It's still being verified as true time after time after time again. Where is the faithful man that walketh in his integrity? Proverbs 20. Lord, help us to have an integrity about us. Acts 24. Acts 24 and verse 16. Herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men. Is that our purpose? You know, that's a good resolution to make. Lord, I want to live in a place to have always a conscience void of offense, not only when camp meeting time comes around, but Lord, help me to live my life. You know how it's going to happen? By walking in the fear of God from day to day, by maintaining a love and a fear of God in my heart. You know what begins to happen to fear of God? Whenever I begin to get lukewarm. You know what? Confusion is like bacteria. It thrives in the lukewarm. Whenever I'm in a lukewarm state in my life, it's a place where it's not black and white anymore, where it's a little bit gray. I don't understand. I don't see real clearly. Lord, help us that we walk from day to day. I'm going to exercise myself in this, not only when the big things come, but that I exercise myself to keep a keen conscience, to keep it tender before the Lord. Oh, if it's not tonight, if I realize that I've not been touched like I should be, like I used to be, Lord, as Job said, Lord, make my heart soft. Lord, would you make my heart soft again? Lord, I want to hearken to Your voice in the small pricks, in the small checks of my life. That's where it starts. That conscience, once so keen to feel, can be seared by rejecting that still small voice, by disregarding. I can crowd it out in my life, or I can go on, I can make excuse, I can make justification. I think I'm okay. I think I can deal with this later. I've done it before, and maybe I get into a place that I just become numb to it. Oh, there's a danger in the sin you must doctrine in this world today. There's a danger in it. It's not truth for one thing. But it gets into a place, they say, well, you do it all the time. And even a sincere soul that's fed that kind of lie over and over. What happens to sin? Whenever you see it over and over and over and over, you get conditioned to it. You're not so reproved in your heart anymore. Whenever those kind of things come in our lives, it can happen with attitudes. It can happen with thoughts. I can get into a place of carelessness in my life that I've begun harboring some thoughts and maybe not checking them and sending them out the window as quickly as I should. Lord, help me to be tender. Of a tender conscience towards you that you can reprove, that I can hear your voice saying, child, stop. Child, check yourself right here. A conscience void of offense. Folks, there's a better way to live. There are places in my life that I'm just not clear. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Oh, to have a clearness before God and before one another, that I don't have to wonder if you saw me when I went to town and I was standing at Red Box checking over my shoulder to see if anyone saw me and what I'm doing. That I don't have to be uncomfortable trying to live one way and doing another thing, knowing other people don't approve of it and on the slide trying to live another way. Oh, there's a better way to live. There's a way that we can live clear before the Lord, to have the answer of a clear conscience with God. Revelation 22. He which testifieth, verse 20, these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The answer or his response, whenever the Lord showed him and revealed to him, I come quickly. You know, there wasn't a scrambling to say, hold on, let me clear something up. There are people that come down to the end of their lives. Now I'm facing face to face, if by the mercy of God, I do realize that my conscience is pricked, that there are some things I need to deal with. I need to go take care of this that's been in my life for years and years. That's a good thing to do. But you know, it's not a wise thing to wait until my deathbed to carry all these things around me, with me, to carry grudges and bitterness and unforgiveness and all these things that I'm carrying around. And then I realize I've got some things to clear up. I need to go talk to somebody first. I need to go clear this thing up before you come. Before I can say, even so come. That was his answer. May it be the witness of every one of our spirits. As the signs of the time bear witness, he comes back quickly. That it would be the witness within my heart. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord, I welcome it. It doesn't hold a terror for me anymore. It doesn't hold a dread for me anymore. I don't have to look on that and think what hell would be like if I go out and I'm not ready. But I can know it's all clear. I'm not carrying the weight of it anymore. I'm not carrying the burden of it. A conscience that's void of offense. I'd like to close in the 28th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, that pastor should have realized this is the mercy of God. I could have gone on throughout my life fooling my wife, fooling my children, fooling my congregation. They never found out about it. I'm on the sly doing these kind of things and go all the way to judgment with that in my life. I could have done that. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going to the judgment. Other men's sins, they come behind and they meet them there. I want those things in my life to go before. I want to go ahead and get them opened up. Go ahead and get them out in the clear. Lord, here they are. Lord, take them. This is who I am, Lord. Now, the scripture and the promise was, if you do that, you'll have mercy. There is a God in heaven that wants us to come to ourselves, that wants us to come and bring the things that are hiding in darkness, the things that are thriving in lukewarmness, to bring them out into the open. Lord, I need to deal with this thing. I don't want to carry it any longer. I don't want to keep the light off in there any longer. Lord, send the glorious light of the gospel. Expose it, Lord, for what it is. Whatever it takes in my life, whatever humility I have to go through, Lord, I want to deal with it here and now. I don't want to carry this thing through to the judgment. If you cover it, you'll never prosper. Never have the peace, the satisfaction. There's still a place in my life where even I wouldn't go, that I didn't want to deal with. And sometimes I feel something rise up within me of terror whenever I think they might have just seen. They might have just heard. They might have... What if the pastor just walked up as I spoke that way? The Lord wants to give us a clearing of conscience that I can come before Him and say, Lord, here it is. Lord, I'm tired of carrying it. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Lord, help us to be on our guard and have an abhorrence for that. Lord, there are some things that are starting to creep in here. There are some tendencies here that I'm starting to have. I'm starting to feel and exhibit. I don't want this to be seen. I don't want people to realize that I'm this way, that I have these kind of attitudes. So I'm going to try to put on a facade. I'm going to try to do my best to have my act together when I'm around you all. If that's been your experience, come and exchange it. Come and get the real thing. A clearness of conscience where I don't have to walk in fear and guilt and doubt and questions, but that I can say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord, send your word. Lord, send the light, expose. Because you know, then when I'm walking that way, there's something within me that says, Lord, I welcome your word. Lord, I welcome your reproof. You know, one of the most blessed gifts that we can receive is conviction. Whenever the Spirit is willing to come and deal with my heart, oh, don't reject the gift. Don't reject the one that's saying, I'm coming, trying to expose, trying to bring it out into the light so you can deal with it and you can move on and have mercy and pardon for your life. Let's stand and have a song. If there's anyone that's in need of prayer, there's one that's willing to meet and abundantly pardon and give us a clearness of conscience.